Ocean for the water. As you're looking out there in your imagination, you see a woman who has just tip-sized the boat. She's out there waving and screaming, "Help! Help! Somebody save me!" There's a rowboat. So you jump in the rowboat and you try to row out there as quickly as possible that you might save this woman. And as she comes up out of the water, you grab a hold of her hair. But she has a wig on and the hair comes off. Finally, she comes back up again with her arms, and so you grab a hold of one of the arms, and it's prosthetic, and it comes off. She goes down again, and she comes back up again with the other arm, and you grab that one, and it comes off. And finally, as events going on, picture this all as you will happening, she comes back up feet first, you grab a hold of the leg, and that comes off. Finally, she comes back up, and you grab a hold of her, and you look at her in the eyes, and you say, "Lady, if you want me to help you, you got to participate." Thank you, Jeff. You got to cooperate. If you want God to help you, you got to participate. This is not a passive thing. God isn't going to do for you what He has told you you have to do for yourself. God has offered to you everything that's necessary for you to live a godly life. He's given to you the power within through the Holy Spirit that you might be share and experience His divine nature. God has granted you power in the inner man so that you could, through Him, Christ, do all things. You can do it all through the strength that God gives you. The problem with humanity and with you and me is that pride, ego, somehow we don't get the picture. We are helpless to stand against the wiles and the deception and the power of the evil one. You cannot win the battle against him on your own. It is impossible. And when God looked down upon humanity and saw man in his lost state, if you remember in our text, God saw that we were helpless. Helpless. Then he commended his love toward us in that Jesus died for us. The Hebrew writer writes and talks about this great high priest who has been tempted in every way like you and I have been. And that through him we are able to approach the throne of God so that we might find help in time of need. When's the last time you humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God that he could help you? Now you're going to do it on your own, right? You're going to stop doing these habits and you're all going to come to flesh on your own. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And And constantly you find yourself losing the battle. You get frustrated over and over again. You get angry inside. You wonder what's going on. Why can't you stop this? Why can't you win? Why can't you do this? Because you're doing it on your own. Did you hear me? Did you listen to me? God says you are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Spirit for a purpose. Jesus said, "I have to go back to the Father, but I will not leave you like orphans. I will send you a helper, paraclete. I will send you someone who will walk along beside you. And he will comfort you and strengthen you, and he'll be there. Whenever you need my help, he will be in the inner man, and by the power that God has given you, through the Holy Spirit, you can become an overcomer. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And there is all kinds of aspects within the human makeup that somehow we just don't get it. God said, Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Spell it. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. And except I abide in you, and my word abides in you. Remember, he said that. You can bear no fruit. Are you listening? Brother, I tell you, the quicker you realize how helpless and how insufficient you are, that you can overcome your fleshly desires in and of yourself, the quicker you realize that you can overcome him, the prince of the world, the evil one. Remember, you're to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the deception of the evil one. Isn't that right? Remember, he's throwing arrows, shooting them at you all the time. And the writer in Hebrews 6 said, what up? Put up, finally, above everything, put up the shield of faith. Well, faith comes by hearing. The only way you're going to defeat Satan is that you are allowing the Word of God to richly dwell within you. Remember the connection between Ephesians and Colossians 3? Be filled with the Spirit, singing, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord and praising Him. Paul said in Colossians 3, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, singing, making melody, praising God. I mean, that's what we did here today. The object of singing is to be filled with the Spirit. To take the words, the truth that we're singing, and transfer it from the mind to the heart. And that you, if you believe what you sang today, and you worshiped Him, and you praised Him for who He is, then God's Spirit should have been filling you. You should feel something inside. Boy, I get everybody something. I want you to get with me today. The Holy Spirit is your paraclete. He is your helper. That's why He was given to you. He just wasn't given. And my Bible tells me in Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you have not the Spirit, you do not belong to God. It is essential that you understand the role that the Holy Spirit is given and why He was given to you, so that God could be at work in you, accomplishing His will and His purpose in you. And the Holy Spirit is given for many different reasons. How does the Holy Spirit help us? How does He help us? That is His role. If He's a helper, then what help do I need? You know, what is it that He needs to help me with? What do I need to 100% totally commit, submit to the power of the Spirit living in me that He can help me to become victorious in my individual life? What is it? What is it? What is it? You see, you can't know what it is if you don't know the book. You can't. Enough of us have just enough biblical passages and understand just enough the Bible that makes us dangerous. Because we think we know it all. I know all I need to know. Oh, really? My Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling and dividing the word of truth. That is in the present Greek tense. That means it's an ongoing process. Don't tell me you don't read the Scriptures, if you are in the Scriptures, that you don't see things that you didn't see before. But the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal to you certain aspects and enlighten your mind spiritually as you're growing spiritually. The mind of Christ becomes more and more clear to you, doesn't it? As you stay in the Word and the Word stays in you and you keep reading it and reading it. Well, I've never saw that before. Wow. I mean, that's the beauty of being in the Word. It really is. I love it. If the Bible says I am to walk by the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, how do you do that? The Bible also says if two do not walk in agreement, they can't walk together. If my wife and I are not in harmony on certain aspects, how can we walk together? So walking in the Spirit means that I'm bringing my will and my thoughts and my life into harmony with what the Holy Spirit has taught. This is the mind of the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of God. It's right here in this book. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, for me to be walking in the Spirit is that I am taking the book, I'm reading it, this is what it says, I'm going to submit my will to it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. And then He can direct and make straight my path. I mean, I'm going to take the book. I'm going to read it. Whatever it says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to bring my will into harmony with it. And that is how you and I bring ourselves into a walk in the Spirit. We're walking in the Word of God. We're bringing our wills into harmony with the Word of God. This is no emotional upheaval, people. It's reality. Because what God's wanting to do more than anything else, as Brother Ted said this morning, He wants to transform you into the very image of His divine nature. He wants to make you like Himself. He created us originally in His image. Christ came into the world in order that God could again restore that image in each of us. And we'll show you how that's done. Probably not today, but we're going to. God's desire is to transform your life and to make you godly. To make you like Himself again. Do you think He can do that? Do you think He has the power to do that? Do you think that's one of the reasons why maybe He gave you the indwelling of His Spirit so He could transform you and change you day by day into this new person, new creature in Christ? The book says so. Amen? Okay, so if the Holy Spirit helps us, how does He help us? How is it that I can find help, and what is it, in what areas do I need help? Well, let's look at one. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 12, and we're going to be looking at that together. I know sometimes I just stand up here, and I just quote it off the top of my head and whatever. This is so important to me. I want you to open up your Bible. I want you to see it with your eyes. You remember about 20% of what you hear, but you will remember 80% of what you see. So I want you to see this. Got your Bibles open? Romans chapter 8. Everybody there? Say yes. Thank you. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Okay? So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must what? Die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Are you listening? There is no way under God's heaven you can, in yourself, put the desires and bring the fleshly desires under control. You can't do it. You were a slave to the flesh. You know that? You were practicing it. You were enslaved in it. The flesh was in control. The Bible says, to whomever you yield yourself, to that one you become a slave. Most all of us at point in life were yielding our lives to the flesh and its desires. And the flesh is manifested. Adultery, fornication, lascivious. Read it in Galatians 5. Murder, division, sedition, witchcraft. Names them all. All works of the flesh. And it's clearly seen out there, isn't it, today? Becoming more clear and seen over your day and every day as we see more and more immorality being propagated and even stamped approval on in our society today, even by our government officials. Lifestyles that God hates are now being approved by the government. Isn't that amazing? The government's playing God. That's what they're doing. They are dictating what's right and wrong for us as a people. You understand that? This book is the only book that dictates morality. You take God out of our knowledge and there's nothing to control the flesh. I said absolutely nothing. But because you were enslaved to it, I use this illustration, you're all aware of the aspect, if you had infection in your bladder or infection in your system, you go to the doctor would diagnose what the infection is. So what are they going to give to you? They're going to give you an antibiotic. What is the antibiotic going to do? It's going to attack the flesh or the infection. Isn't that right? So before you became a Christian, you were enslaved to sin. You were in it. You were walking in it. You were allowing it to grow your life. You were fulfilling its pleasures. You were doing every act, and you had become enslaved to it. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to set the captive free. He came to set us free from the flesh, from the Satan, from the power of this world. And therefore, He then injected you and me. When you and I were baptized into Christ, we were promised the indwelling gift of who? Well, the Holy Spirit. And so God injected you with an antibiotic, if you will. He injected you with a power that you could overcome that which you had been enslaved to. I like that. Amen. You get all the amens out there? You cannot overcome the desires of your flesh in and of yourself. But you have to will to. You have to want to. You have to hunger to. You have to want it. You have to cooperate. You have to participate. You have to say, God, help me. Help me. It is not within man to choose the path as you walk. You understand? It is not within you. You need help. I needed help. God saw us in our helplessness. He sent Jesus to die for us and take care of problem number one, and that is the forgiveness of our sin. He sent the Holy Spirit to take problem number two, that He would empower us to overcome that which had caused us to live in sin. Does that make sense? Huh? Does that make sense? And so God has sent you a helper. He's empowered you that you no longer have to be enslaved. You're not obligated to the flesh. You don't owe it a thing. And if you feed it, you live after it, you're going to reap death. God isn't mocked. You sow to the flesh and you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life and life eternal. So please, let's realize that God filled you and gave you the Holy Spirit to help you. And one of the areas that you and I need help every day of our life is to keep the flesh and its desires mortified, dead, so that we don't live in it any longer. We're not a slave to it any longer. That we can be set free from it, and that we can live after the Spirit and live now and eternity, okay? So we always, as we evaluate our lives and the aspects of it, turn to Psalms 119. The 119 Psalms. Somehow or other, the Psalms, as far as I know, is written by a man who was after God's own heart. And there are certain elements about this man that God used to demonstrate certain aspects, because even the Son of God was a direct lineage, came through the direct bloodline of David. You know that, don't you? And so in Psalms 119, if you will, you're going to find David saying something that just staggers my mind when I read it and I understand it as I do today. In verse 11, everybody here? Huh? Verse 11, Jason, what does verse 11 say? What does verse 11 say, Ray? Thy word have I treasured. Have I put the highest value of life itself upon. And thy word have I planted and hid in the contents of my heart as a human being. Why? Why? So that I might not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Thy word, I love your word, God. Speak, let your servant hear. Command, and I will obey. Let me bring my will into harmony with the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Do you love the word or don't you? Do you treasure it in your heart? Because out of the heart comes the issues of life. How are you going to control your desires if you haven't taken the mind of Christ, the mind of God, the mind of the Spirit, and hid it in the contents of your heart so that you won't sin any longer? Are you listening? We'll go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And let's see what John has to say at beginning at verse 11. Verse 7 of chapter 3 of 1 John. I'll get it right. Little children, are you there? Little children, do not be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who just simply lives in a harmony with the one who is God righteous? For me to be righteous then is for me to bring my will into harmony with the will of God and do what is right in the eyes of God. And if I'm doing that, God imputes me, clothes me with His righteousness. Your righteousness is like filthy rags in the eyes of God. You know that? I don't want God to see my righteousness. When I stand before God, I want Him to look upon me as being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And for me to be and have that righteousness is that I have submitted myself to the will of God and I'm walking in obedience to what it teaches, what it says, what the Holy Spirit says in every aspect of my life. Now, I know people say the Bible's outdated. I know the Bible says it doesn't meet up. We progressively have evolved beyond the teaching of the Word of God. Well, look what's happening out there. Look what's happening out there in the world, because we're putting the Bible on the shelf and we're taking God out of our minds. My Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I said it's the beginning of it. And when there is no fear of God, there is and will be no standard of morality in any culture. If you read those things I gave you last week of our forefather, if you read them, you'll find every one of them knew that this nation was totally dependent upon keeping God in the forefront of the minds of the people. And if we didn't do that, the nation would fall. And so what we experience in every aspect of our lives is that little children, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by your government. Don't be deceived by the moral values of our society today. Don't let them dictate what's right and wrong. This is your only measure of right and wrong. It's the Word of God. And then he goes on and says, verse 8, are you listening? Huh? Listen what it says. The one who practices sin is of who? The devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy what? The works of the devil. Then he went on, and listen to what he says. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, what is the seed? The Word. Remember Jesus said the sower went forth to sow, and the seed fell on different types of soil? Remember that? The seed is the Word. Remember Peter said you were born again of that incorruptible seed, that imperishable seed, that is the Word of God. This is the seed. And as long as God's Word richly is treasured in your heart and you're walking in it, living it, obeying it, whatever, you will never again persistently, willfully become a slave that practices and is overcome by sin. As long as the seed remains in you. Isn't that what he said? Is that what he said, people? So how important is it for you to get in the Word? How important for the Word to get into your heart? How important is it you read it and treasure it and look into it and obey and apply it and walk by it? How important is that? It's one thing for us to call ourselves Christians, but I live in a society today where I see a lot of people have an outward form, but they deny the power therein. You don't need my help. God gave you a helper. And His name is the Holy Spirit. And all I can do for you is to point you to the Helper. I can only point to you the one to whom God gave you at your birth. You weren't just born of the water. You were born of the Spirit as well. You were quickened, made alive. You were dead in your sin. The Holy Spirit came and quickened you in the inner man. You were baptized not just in water. You were baptized into the Holy Spirit. You were immersed into Him. He then came, quickened you, rose you from dead to a new life in Christ. Isn't that what the picture is? You were dead, you were buried, and you were risen to walk in a newness of life because you've been empowered to do so. Got it? Are you listening? Because I'm telling you, people, I need help. Anybody here not need help? I struggle with the same thing every day, don't you? Huh? In the Galatian letter, Paul writes to the Galatian Christians and talks about the war going on between the flesh and the spirit. Have you ever read it? Huh? So that we can't do the things we want because the spirit and the flesh war against one another, clash against one another. Well, somebody said it's like two dogs fighting. And the one you feed the most is the dog that's going to win. I don't know if it's a good illustration or not, but I believe it's that way with us. If that war is going on inside of us, then if I feed the Spirit, and I'm feeding the Spirit through the Word of God, the Spirit will what? Win. But if I'm practicing the flesh and doing the flesh and practicing it and allowing it to reign in my mortal body, then what's going to win? So who's the one that's making the choice who's going to win? Raise your hand. You're the one that's making the choice whether you're going to feed the Spirit or you're going to feed the desires of your flesh. You're the one who makes the choice. You know that? Theodore Roosevelt, and I quoted it from the Sunday school class, said that if you would just take the one who's responsible for your problem and kick him in the back end, you probably wouldn't be able to seat yourself for about 2 to 3 weeks. I've said that all my life. I came to the realization, I have to take total responsibility for what's going on in my life. Freud tried to get us to become, if you will, dirt archaeologists so we can go back and throw dirt at people and say, well, if I would have had a different family, or whatever. No, I want you to understand something. When you were born again, you begin a whole new life. What was behind that, the old has passed away. It's been gone. It should have been buried. I said it should have been buried. You got a new father now. You have a new brother. You have a new power and a comforter and a helper and a paraclete. You have a new person walking along, Spirit walking along beside you, the Holy Spirit. And if you don't get rid of the past, then you haven't really understood what God did for you, that the old man was crucified. The body of sin was destroyed so that you could rise from the watery grave empowered with the Spirit of God to start living and moving and experiencing God in the inner man and being filled with God, being filled with Christ, being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit was given to help you to overcome the flesh and its desires. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And I promise you, He will deliver you. He promises to, doesn't He? Doesn't He? John says Jesus came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Then why is the devil having so much victory in the lives of people, quote unquote, calling themselves Christians? I'll tell you why. Because they're doing it on their own. They're doing it on their own. Well, I got to quit this. No, you don't. You don't quit anything. What you do is you start. You start doing what God tells you to do, and then He will empower you to put away the old man. He'll empower you to put away the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit was given to you to mortify, to put to death the desires of the flesh. Isn't that what it said in Romans 8? That's what it says, people. So maybe we're out there like the woman in the water, and God sent His Son down here to help us, and He reaches down to pull us up out of the mire of slavery of sin, and all of a sudden the hair comes off, or the arm comes off, and He would look at you and me and probably would say, now listen, people, if you want me to help you, you got to cooperate. You got to repent. You know? I mean, He requires repentance, doesn't He? He certainly does. I got to have a will to change. I got to have a desire to change. I got to be at a point where I realize within myself that I am His creation, created in Christ Jesus, that He is in me to accomplish His will and purpose. And one of His will is that He knows that I can't become what He wants me to be until I get this thing called the flesh under His control. Okay? Everybody with me? Got it? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you leave here today? What's the most important thing you can do? Pray. Okay. You need to humble yourself, get on your knees, recognize and confess your sins to God, ask Him to forgive you, and ask Him to do what? Fill me. Fill me with your Spirit, God, etc. And then what? Humble yourself to the book. Thy word have I treasured in my heart, O God, that I might not what? If the seed, the word of God, remains in you, that means it abides in you, that it retains you, then he says that seed will, and with if that seed, the word of God, is in you, you will not practice, you will not willfully, again, allow yourself to become enslaved to sin. So you need to do what? You need to get the book inside of you, submit your will to it, and start living it, humbling yourself to it. And whatever it says and whatever it teaches, you're not going to argue with it. You're not going to fight it. You're not going to struggle with God's word. You're going to surrender your will to it. Got it? Okay? And I guarantee you, if God is the God that I believe in, He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. Jesus came to set the captive free. That's only one reason why He was given to you. So this is going to be a long series. And people, you need to hear it. You need to hear the series. Because I see a lot of people struggling today, fighting themselves, fighting their desires, fighting everything in themselves, and they feel helpless. Well, yeah, we are. And the sooner I admit how helpless I am to fight this battle on my own, the quicker I will turn to the one who has the power to help me. Okay? And that's what you got to do. Maybe you just need to go out in the woods somewhere. Maybe you just need to get away from your husband, your children, your wife, whatever. And go somewhere all by your lonesome into your closet, into the stillness of God, and look up into the heaven and humble yourself to God. And say to the Lord God of heaven, I need your help. I can't do this anymore. I can't fight this battle anymore. I can't win this battle. Please, God, help me! Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you like the woman in this water? And you realize that you're drowning. Life is overcoming you. You can't get yourself back into the boat. You can't enjoy life. Well, then I'm telling you today, there's only one helper, paraclete, power, that God gave you and is willing to give you. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. And He gave you that power in the inner man. And God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what I even dream or ask through the power that is at work in me. Amen? God bless you. God help you. Let's be winners. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great gift of love that you gave us at our birth. And that spirit that came and dwells within us. Our bodies are your temple. And God, I know that neither death, life, principalities and powers, there's nothing that can separate us from your love. And I pray you'll fill each one that's here today, that this message has encouraged them. They'll stand firm in their faith. They'll stand before you today and humbly say to you from their hearts, God, fill me. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. But grant unto me the power that I can overcome and I can win. Lord, I know you desire that. And I pray that we'll humbly submit to you today. And that we'll all be the people of God that you desire us to be. So be with us. Bless us today. And again, I just pray for that filling, that you would fill us with your spirit, fill us with your word, and help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen.